The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Good things today. Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I hope you have some good things planned for your father or family time, whatever the situation is today for you. Today I do want to talk about honoring your father. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It was taken out of the Old Testament, and the apostle wrote to us how important it is to honor not only our father but our mother as well, honoring our parents, because there's a commandment that comes with it, or coming with the commandment is a promise. And the promise is, it'll be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So it's very important that we honor our parents. And today we're honoring our fathers. The National Center for Fathering conducts a contest every year for schools, and each grade has a winner. And I like the first grade winner of the past years. First grader wrote, my dad is the best dad ever. I would kiss a pig for him. That's pretty good. Must really love her dad very much. So today we're just going to move right into this message, and I want to talk to you this morning. The number one thing, if you want to honor your dad, speak life into his life. Speak life. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There is so much power in our spoken words. We must be careful what we speak and how we speak to one another. If you want to honor your dad today, speak life to him. Tell him how much you love him. You may think, he doesn't really need to hear that. You know, he's a strong man, and he doesn't need to hear me tell him I love him. After all, 10 years ago I told him, and that'd be enough. Well, I can tell you this, as a father, I need to hear that from my children. I need to hear it from my grandchildren. Regularly, I need to hear, I love you, I appreciate you. That gives me, and that's honoring me. So tell your dad that you love him, and understand how important the words, these words are. They're so very powerful. And I would say to you, fathers, make sure that you understand how powerful words are. Be careful what you say to your children. Encourage them. Lift them up. Now, I'm not telling you not to discipline them. Discipline is very important. That's part of the Word of God as well. We have to have structure for our children. They need to be disciplined properly. But, you know, the Word of God is very clear that we're not to be too harsh with our children, because we will injure their spirit. And we don't want to do that. So what we do is we must temper our discipline with love. There was an old Chinese proverb that said, I will push my child away with one hand and pull him close with the other. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about discipline and love, a balance between the two. Having a balance. It's very important that we balance those things and we understand the power of our words. The things that we say. Fathers, if you want to, you want your children to honor you, honor, respect, and love their mother to the best of your ability. You may be divorced, but even if you are the best of your ability to honor their mother, is so very important. Speak good things. Do not tear that person down in front of your children. Speak good things. They may be the worst scoundrel on the face of the earth. That's not your responsibility to deal with that. You got to turn that over to God. Spoken words are very powerful. In 2004, a Japanese scientist by the name of Masaru Moto, he published a book. He called it The Hidden Messages in Water. It became a New York Times bestseller. Moto's work revolved around the hypothesis that water could react to positive and negative words and music and actions, but mostly words. Emoto's water crystal experiments consisted of this. He exposed water. He took three containers of water, and we'll just talk about two. He took two containers of water, and he one container he wrote kindness, on the other one something like that, and the other one he wrote hate. And the one that he wrote kindness on, he would speak into that every day, kind words, I love you, you're awesome, encouraging things. The other container of water, he would speak hate and anger and frustration, and he'd get angry with that water. And his experiment went like this. After about 30 days, he took that water, he froze it, and he cut it in slices, and he looked at it under a microscope. According to his findings, he found that the crystals of the water that he spoke kindness and goodness and encouraged, those crystals were beautiful, formed perfectly. The crystals of the water that he spoke nasty things to were ugly and deformed. Now, you know, I must say this. I want to make sure everybody understands. His experiments were highly controversial. He was called a pseudo-scientist, and, you know, a lot of people just did not agree with those things. But I can tell you this, in my life, I can tell you how powerful it is to have good things spoken to me and see things, good things spoken to my children and to other people. That doesn't mean that we don't correct and we get corrected when we need to be corrected. It just means that the majority of the time we should be speaking good things into one another's lives. I think it's very interesting, his experiments with the human body being somewhere around 60% water, that he believes that speaking into people's lives possibly changes their direction, both positive and negative. Now, here's something that he did. Now, whether you believe that his experiments with the water or not, but he also conducted the same kind of experiments with rice. He boiled a pot of rice. He divided it into three jars. And he did the same thing. He wrote on it, and then he spoke into to the first one. He spoke into negative or positive things. The second one, he spoke negative things. And the last one, he just left alone. He ignored it. At the end of his results, he found the one that he spoke negative things was moldy and nasty and smelled bad. The one that he spoke positive things was clean and had a wonderful fragrance to it. And the one that he ignored also was worse than the one that he spoke negative things to. When you ignore it, it gets worse. Now, I bring this up because this is an experiment that anybody can do at home, if you'd like to check this out. Now, what I did was I didn't do the experiment, but I went online and Googled it and found several people on YouTube that had similar results to Dr. Emoto's, the power of those words spoken to that rice. Now, does this confirm to me that our words are powerful? It backs up the Word of God, I guess is what it can do. But I don't care if his experiment flopped. I don't care if your experiment flops. It doesn't matter about the experiment. I'm not just using this as an example. What matters is what the Word of God says. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. I believe the Word of God. I trust the Word of God. Even when science rejects the truth of the Word of God, I stand on the Word of God. Millions and billions of years ago, I stand on the Word of God. You know, man evolved. I stand on the Word of God. He was created. All these things. Man is, you know, what we hear from a humanistic perspective is that man is basically good. Well, the Bible teaches us that that's not true. The man is basically evil at heart, and we need a Savior to make us good, to create goodness in us. We need that Holy Spirit inside of us to direct us so that we can do good and right. About 2,900 years ago, the wisest man on the face of the earth, King Solomon, penned these words. The words of the wicked are like murderous ambush, but the words of the godly save lives. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. That should tell us, you know, how important our words are. Remember, Jesus said that we're going to be judged by every word that comes out of our mouth. Now, do I believe we're going to go heaven or hell because we've spoken some things we shouldn't? No, I don't. But I believe that the Lord is going to show us someday just how far off track we get sometimes, so that we will appreciate this goodness and the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that saved our souls. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Notice, the Scripture tells us the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit, fruit. There's one fruit, many flavors. I don't believe that it's by chance that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to list love as the first fruit, because it is the major fruit that we're talking about here. Listen to this. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. Amen. Number two, choose a good name. Do you realize how important it is to choose a good name? You know, sometimes we say, I don't care what other people think. Well, on one hand, that's good because we have to do what God wants us to do regardless of what the crowd says. We got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, it's important that we have respect from other people, that people look at us and see and recognize that our life is based on the Word of God and we're living according to those principles. Let me see if I remember what Dr. Martin Luther King said about the character of man. He said something to the effect that someday men will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by their character. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Isn't that what it's all about? It has nothing to do with what we look like. It's what's in here that is so important. Are we pouring out the godly character, the love of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we walking in these precepts that the Bible teaches us? Are people looking at us and saying, yeah, that's an honorable person? Whether they agree with us or not, they know that we're honorable and we're a person of our word, that we choose a good name. If you want to honor your father, choose a good name. As a father, I'm very proud of my children. When they are honorable, they're God-fearing, they're honest, they're hardworking, I'm just proud of them for that. Being honorable, bringing honor to our family name, is very important. Tammy's dad was really big on this. He would, when the kids would be out in the community and they would meet somebody, and they would talk to somebody that he knew, he would always say to them, "Did you tell them you're a bar?" Because it meant something to him. It was a family name. It was honorable. "Did you tell them you're a bar? Did you tell them that you're a child of the Most High God?" That's the honorable thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Fathers, if your children are going to be honorable, you must set the example. Live by the standards that the Holy Spirit sets for us. My dad wasn't a perfect man, but he lived an honorable life. He was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he lived that in our home and everywhere he went, not just on Sunday mornings. He was a good man that established honor for our family. And I'll tell you this, you may not have had such a good relationship with your father up to this point, but you're a father. You may be a father, or you're going to be a father. I'll say this. The legacy can begin with you, an honorable man. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Deuteronomy 30:19, "I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." Choose life. Choose to do the right thing. Have an honorable name. Fathers, choosing wisely, it can sometimes be very painful, because sometimes we have to choose things that our children do not understand, that our family doesn't understand. But when you choose wisely and you're honorable, your name will, people will recognize the goodness of your name. It's very important that we choose life and not death. I heard Dr. James Dobson tell this story many years ago. It's one of the most powerful stories in the history of the Olympic Games that I've ever heard. It was a man by the name of Bill Haven. He was a shoe-in, at least that's what they said, to win a gold medal as a canoeist, canoeing in 1924 Olympic Games in Paris. But he found out before he went that his wife was going to have a son. So he, as the time grew near, he wrestled with it, and he realized that he wanted to be there when his son was born. So he passed up the opportunity to go to Paris and compete to win a gold medal. For 30 years, about 24 years, he poured his life into his little boy, and he taught him to love canoeing as much as he did. And in 1948, the Olympics came around again. Bill's son, Frank, was selected to go to compete in the Olympics in canoeing. in 1948. Before Frank, of course, you know, back then we didn't have so, you know, immediate communication. But what Frank did was he sent a telegram after the Olympics. He sent a telegram back to his father. And he said, "Dear Dad, thanks for waiting around for me to be born in 1924. I'm coming home with the gold medal that you should have won. It was signed, your loving son, Frank." What a powerful message of a legacy handed down to a son, to a children. I mean, many people would question Bill's, you know, his decision not to go to the Olympics. But he made a huge sacrifice for his son. And then 24 years later, the son upheld his good name. Children, say to you, if you, no matter how old you are today, honor your father. Honor him, uphold his good name. Maybe your relationship hasn't been so good with your father, but you have a heavenly father, and you have his name to uphold. I want to commend you fathers this morning for being here. You prove that you are here this morning because you want to be the spiritual leaders in your family, in your household, or with your children. You may not even be in the same household, but you want to spiritually lead your family. That's to be commended. Some of you may just be starting on this journey. Praise God for that. I'm glad that you choose. There are thousands, millions of men who are out boating, fishing, picnicking, doing all golfing, doing men things, a lot of them, this morning, and not here worshiping the Lord, or not someplace worshiping the Lord. Those who are, whether it's here or in some other body of Christ here this morning, you men deserve to be commended for being here this morning. Thank you so much. Let me share this part with you just before I finish this part of it. According to two statistics, when a father leads a family spiritually, there is 93% probability that everyone else in his family will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. It goes way down. It goes down to about 17% when it's just the mother. But when the father and the mother are united in their faith, wonderful things happen. Number three, obey and respect. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Walk in obedience to your father. 2 Timothy 3:2 says this, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Children, obey your fathers. Don't be like this scripture says. We're living in a time where people are disobedient, not only to their parents, but disobedient to authority figures overall. There's a lot of disobedience going on. A lot of things that should not be. No, I'm not against people protesting. We have the right here in the United States to protest. Thank God for the freedom of speech and the freedom to protest. But when we become violent and we disobey the laws that are set up to protect everyone, then there's something wrong. So let's show honor and respect not only to our earthly father, but our heavenly father by doing what is right. Now, I want to tell you this. I do believe there is a time when civil government says you can't do this and the Bible says you're supposed to, then you have to be disobedient to civil government. It's just, that's a reality. But I don't believe there's a time for violence. I believe there's a time to stand on the Word of God. Not fight, but to Lord, allow the Lord our God to fight our battles for us. Kids spell love T-I-M-E. If they're going to obey and respect you, fathers, you got to spend some time with them. A survey that was done of children before Father's Day. The survey asked, what is the most important thing about a father? The answers were things like, he plays catch with me. He shows me his work. He takes me on errands. He takes me fishing. They were not all, you know, not all of them were just consistent. Something that a father does consistently, other than the consistency of spending time with the children. Every single answer in the top 10 had to do with a father spending time with their child. That's what's important. Spend time with them. Listen, this is it's a tough time in the world to set aside time to spend with our children. But it is so very important. We will shape them and mold them. Give them your time. Speak life to them. Talk to them about the Word of God. Everyday activities will open the door for you to tell them, teach them the Word of God. Just walk out in nature and you have the opportunity to talk to them about the creation of God. Spending time with them. They need that so much. Hallelujah. Spending time with dear old dad makes a child feel secure. And in a very insecure world that we live in, they need that. One thing that I always knew about my dad, that he would always be there to protect me. I never doubted. When we went to sleep at night, I slept good because I knew my dad was there. It didn't matter what was going on around me. Dad was there to protect us. We make many sacrifices for our children. So all I can ask of you, fathers, make the sacrifice of time for your children. Mark Twain had the candor to say and admit this about his father. He said, when I was a boy of 15, my dad was so ignorant I could hardly stand him. When I got to the age of 21, I was astonished to how much the old man had learned in those few years. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we can rest every day and every night that our Heavenly Father is there protecting us. He's with us. He encamps His angels around us and keeps us. It's so important that we rest in that. Now, an earthly father can only do so much. I knew that growing up that my dad would have fought to the death to protect his family. And I know those of you sitting in here, I believe that's true about each and every one of you. And it's important that your children feel that trust and that protection from you. I'm going to finish with this. There's a certain tradition in many Native American tribes, a rite of passage for their teenage boys. At the age of 13, the boys knew this was coming. At the age of 13, the sons would be taken out into the deep woods, deep forest, and they would be set down at a tree, and they would be blindfolded. They'd done this in the evening. They'd blindfold those kids, and then they would tell that 13-year-old boy, "You're going to be here all night alone. If you need anything, you can call out to us." But they knew that this was a rite of passage. They were becoming a man, so to cry out or get up and run meant that they were not a man, and they wanted to be thought of as a man. So they set them there in the middle of the night. All night long they heard the birds and the owls and the coyotes and the wolves or whatever animals were around. He sat there. Can you imagine how that would feel? You felt like you were all alone. This boy was blindfolded. They wouldn't allow him to see what was going on around him. He didn't know if there was a wild animal about to sneak up on him. He wasn't allowed to take that blindfold off until morning. When the sun came up, you can imagine the first thing, as soon as they saw that first ray of light, they wanted to take that blindfold off. When he took the blindfold off, he would see, sitting across, just 10 feet away from him, was his father. He had been there all night to protect him. He became a man, but he always had the protection of his father. We always have the protection of the Heavenly Father. He's always there for us. I can't promise you that your father was that kind of person. Mine was, and I'm so thankful for it. I hope yours was. But regardless, you're here this morning. You can be that kind of father. Amen. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.